Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you need any further proof of how Twitter has affected our culture and our language, just look what's happened to the old number sign. You know, the two lines crossed with two other lines. Used to be that was just a symbol to denote the word number. But in the past few years, that humble little symbol has taken on a new title, the hashtag, and new significance on Twitter and other social media. And now it appears to have officially infiltrated the music biz. We have hashtagged song and even album titles popping up all over the industry. Joining me here in the studio today to discuss this are Lexi Mainland, social media editor for the New York Times. Hi, Lexi.
Hashtag hello.
Rembert Brown is a staff writer for Grantland. Hi, Rembert.
How are you?
Good. And William Gruger, social and streaming chart manager at Billboard. Hi, William.
Hi, how are you?
Let me start with you, William.
Sure.
We're seeing a big explosion of this just in the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah. Just in the past few weeks, we had three artists come out with hashtag titled songs or inspired songs. We've had Mariah Carey's hashtag beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Busta Rhymes' hashtag twerk it. And though the name of the song doesn't exactly start with a hashtag, Jennifer Lopez's Live It Up was heavily promoted as hashtag Live It Up.
Okay. So, Rembert, you have written about this trend, and I get the impression you're not crazy about it.
It's not my favorite thing in the world.
Why?
You know, it's less that I'm mad that, I feel like the music industry, like the actual songs are being affected. It just feels kind of insincere. It's like calling something hashtag beautiful. It's just like kind of throwing it in your face that like it's just like promotion
right, right.
before the actual song.
Isn't it the opposite of insincere? Isn't it just like being completely honest about the fact that, hey, I'm going to promote myself and my song by putting this kind of marker in the title?
In a way it is, but there's still trying to pretend like even when you call it or it's written out hashtag beautiful, they're still pretending that it's the same old song. But when I see it written, when I go to Spotify and I type in beautiful and I see hashtag beautiful, I'm like, oh, this is now about Twitter and Instagram. And then, you know, at some point also about the music.
Mm-hmm. Well, will.i.am recently doubled down on the hashtag thing with the release of his fourth album called Hashtag Willpower, which also features this song that he did with Justin Bieber called Hashtag That Power. Will.i.am, his name is an internet domain name as well. And here he has double hashtag the world by releasing the album Hashtag Willpower and featuring that song with Justin Bieber called Hashtag That Power. Lexi, this all goes back to like Twitter, 2007
yeah,
or so.
Yeah, it actually goes back, as from what I understand, it goes back before Twitter to the nerdy world of IRC networks, where computer geeks were trying to create small groups and conversations, and they were using hashtags as little sort of kind of almost like chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, not when Twitter first started, but sometime maybe a year later, hashtags started to pop up there as, again, a way to sort of put metadata into conversations. And they've, you know, they've been used for lots of serious newsy purposes, especially they had, you know, a huge use during a revolution in Iran a few years ago.
So once Twitter installed a search function, the hashtag was the way that you would, you know, if you were a Charlie Sheen fan, you would just type in hashtag winning and you'd get all the tweets that had something to do with that.
Under that particular thing, yeah. It's sort of used as a way to group topics and ideas.
Now, the funny thing about, I mean, that Will.i.am song, I mean, remember, this sort of goes back to what you were saying. He never sings the word hashtag. At no point do they say hashtag that power. Yeah. They just sing that power.
I think it would be really funny if Will.i.am or Robin Thicke or something at some point like whispered like hashtag or something like just to mix it up, because like it's blatantly happening, like with the Robin Thicke example, his mm-hmm. song Blurred Lines. It's not hashtag Blurred Lines,
right?
But in the music video, like every 20-25 seconds there is a giant red hashtag Thicke or hashtag Blurred Lines, and it's almost like subliminal messaging, like, well, not almost, it's just messaging.
It's not even
just
subliminal.
In your face, like, like this is like,
it's kind of creepy.
That is Robin Thicke with T.I. and Pharrell with Blurred Lines. All right, so we're talking about hashtags and social media and how this has all sort of affected infected the music industry on Soundcheck today. Lexi Mainland is social media editor for The New York Times. Rembert Brown, staff writer for Grantland. William Gruger, social streaming chart manager at Billboard. And William, you've written about this band Cobra Starship,
mm-hmm.
who kind of, they were early adopters of the hashtag titling trend.
Yeah, not the first, but one of the first tracks to really break through on the Billboard charts was a single called One Night. Hashtag One Night, of course.
Hashtag and then the numeral one,
mm-hmm.
and then N-I-T.
Yeah, not to be confused with Number One Night, which some radio DJs were saying as they would announce the song on the radio because they didn't know exactly what it was then. According to the band's frontman, their manager said, hey, why don't we just put a hashtag in front of this song so that way it can like become a trending topic on Twitter?
Did it?
And it did at one point when it first came out. And they promoted the song on Twitter by asking fans, like, why don't you tell us about like that one night, that one night that's really special to you, that one night you'll never forget, thereby giving the concept of one night much bigger meaning than just the name of the song, kind of tying it to an idea.
Well, and also giving their fans kind of ownership of the song in a way.
And giving Cobra Starship ownership over that concept of one night. Gotta live like we got one night, one night, one night. Gotta live like we got one night, one night, one night. 'Cause you know we just got one life, one life, one life. So gotta live like we got one.
Cobra Starship is the name of the band. Their 2011 single called One Night, actually written hashtag numeral one and then N-I-T-E, but that is pronounced One Night. We're talking about the influx of hashtags into the music industry, hashtag song titles, hashtag album titles. Lexi, as a social media editor, would you say it's a healthy sign for the music industry that they've adopted this so enthusiastically?
I mean, I don't think anything in media these days can be called purely healthy. I think it's both sort of destructive and helpful. Certainly, you know, if everything has a hashtag and anyone can use a hashtag to get their message out there, then there becomes a lot of noise, and it's really hard to cut through that.
Well, now that's a good, probably a good link, a good segue into talking about the Mariah Carey song, which you've all mentioned already. It's called Hashtag Beautiful. I mean, there's got to be a million different trends, hashtag beautiful, on Twitter and Instagram. So.
Yes, it's actually an ugly phenomenon.
Yeah, I went through, when I wrote about the whole hashtag thing, it was right after the Mariah Carey song came out, and I went through just to, like, prove a point. I just clicked hashtag beautiful in Twitter and was just copying, pasting, taking screenshots of hashtag beautiful tweets that had nothing to do with the Mariah Carey and Miguel song. And, like, just to prove a point that it's, like, I don't understand why, especially when it's a song that's actually really good and doesn't, I don't even think, needs that extra bump of kind of, like, hokey promotion. Like, why?
Well, plus you've got Miguel, who's, you know, a not rising star, he's risen. And Mariah Carey, yeah, who's making this, you know, really much ballyhooed comeback.
Yeah. And a song that just stands on its own as, like, a very good song. I just thought
it
was
a great video.
Yeah, it's the only thing about the song that I don't like
is the title.
Yeah,
William, is it a misstep putting the hashtag in front of a term like beautiful that is used so frequently?
Well, I mean, Rembert said it pretty well. Beautiful applies to a lot of things. You know, my dog is beautiful, for instance. But you know, where in one way it can be mixed in with a lot of clutter, it can also help that particular song or an image with that song be a part of that topic. So, for instance, if I'm looking at things that are beautiful on Tumblr and I'm scrolling through dogs and beaches, oh, hey, there's that Mariah Carey song. And as media consumption moves more and more towards feeds, my Twitter feed, my Facebook feed is where I discover content, marketers are always looking for ways to get their content into those feeds, and a hashtag is a good way to do that.
Well, it was just very recently that Mariah tweeted that the explicit version of the song was being released, and you could, quote, find out what the hashtag means, unquote. You're not going to find that out here on the radio, but here's the family-friendly version of the song, Hashtag Beautiful. Yeah, you're beautiful. Good Lord, you're beautiful. The song is not beautiful, but hashtag beautiful, from Mariah Carey with Miguel. And we're talking about hashtags, social media, and how it has sort of appeared recently in album titles, song titles. William, is there any evidence that all of this hashtagging is making a difference in sales and charting and things like that?
Not really yet. You know, the artists that you would expect to sell a lot of records, Mariah Carey, you know, their hashtag songs do better. That's kind of expected. But what we do see are that artists that name their hashtag songs after more specific terms that they can kind of take ownership over, like we've discussed, show much higher spikes in engagement around that term when the song is released, which kind of hints that online people are reacting to that song or that word as applies to their song rather than just the term in general.
But that reaction is happening in social media, like Twitter and Instagram,
yeah, exactly.
Which by its nature is a very quick, ephemeral thing. It's like, hey, there's this song. Oh, look, a puppy.
Right.
And now the song is forgotten.
Here one day, gone the next. And in all these cases, buzz around those particular hashtags die right back down to their sort of baseline levels in the 2 or 3 days that follow
yeah.
the song's release.
Well, it's just so weird. We're talking about all these songs with hashtag in the title. You hear all the songs, and as I mentioned before, you never hear anybody sing or say the word hashtag. Is that, Lexi, is that next? Is that the inevitable next step? And at what point does this wave crest and crash and leave us alone?
I don't know at what point the wave will crest and crash, but I suspect that it will. I mean, it does all seem very trendy, and it does feel to me often like, you know, 5 years from now we're going to look back at this and think of it as sort of like that jean jacket where we collected all these pins back in the 80s.
Those are coming back, though.
Like, why did we do that? Why were we using puffy paints to decorate our sweatshirts? And I think, you know, this is going to be some sort of historical artifact of the 2000s that is going to creep us out a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we're going to see people naming their songs hashtags forever, but I definitely don't think we're going to stop seeing that sort of organic naming of movements, mm-hmm. or tying a hashtag onto a song coming from within a community.
Well, it's here now, and we'll see how long it stays around. Hashtags in album titles, song titles, who knows, maybe it'll be in films and book titles next. We've been speaking with Lexi Mainland, social media editor for The New York Times, Rembert Brown, staff writer at Grantland, and William Gruger, social and streaming chart manager at Billboard. And to the three of you, hashtag thanks very much for being here.
Absolutely.
Thank you. There was a silent hashtag in that. Yeah.
And here's a little bit from Jennifer Lopez featuring Pitbull. She has also jumped on the hashtag bandwagon with this song called Hashtag Live It Up. Okay, now I want you all to put that hashtag knowledge to good use. Soundcheck needs your help for an upcoming segment on the always controversial topic of progressive rock. Next week, I'll speak with some of the writers behind a new essay collection called Yes is the Answer and Other Prog Rock Tales. But what is prog rock anyway? There are probably as many different definitions as there are key changes in a song by Yes. We want to hear how you define the term. Call us at 1-866-939-1612 or tweet us at Soundcheck with the hashtag ProgRock. That's 866-939-1612 or tweet us at Soundcheck with the hashtag ProgRock. And that, folks, is the way hashtags should be used. Up next, an in-studio performance from the James Hunter Six. This is Soundcheck.